I'm Josh Scherer.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Show time. That's the best I could come up with. I don't know if I'm. I mean, I guess we're allowed to say that phrase, right? Like, that's not
what showtime.
No, the two words that we got for you.
Okay,
I think we'd be allowed to say that.
I mean, if you want to,
yeah.
But who are you saying it to?
I mean, nobody in specific.
Okay.
You know? Nobody in particular.
Yeah, I mean, did someone flash in your head that you were just going
to
say
I'm sure if you give me like 6 to 8 seconds, I could come up with somebody I want to say it to. But I'm not thinking about them right now. I'm thinking about one thing and one thing alone. I am thinking about the fact that, dear friends, we are now inside of a half of a day remaining. We are now inside of 11 hours remaining between us and tonight's kickoff of the NFL Hall of Fame game, y'all. We've been saying it for 2 weeks now. It's football season. We had SEC Media Days in Atlanta, Georgia. We had ACC Media Days in Charlotte, North Carolina. And we said, oh, it's football season. It's football season. It's football season. And it was true. And we meant it. But now I mean it more than I meant it then. It's football season. Not preseason. But it counts. The word season's in preseason. It's football season. Hall of Fame game tonight. We're going to talk a little bit of football later on in the hour. But I do want to get to the audio blitz. Got a couple of sound bites that I've been carrying around for you for a hot minute. Let's get into them. I want to start with this one. Lonzo and I have for a very long time tried to tell you, the smartest dudes on a football field, everybody says quarterback. It's not unfair. But the smartest dudes on the football field are offensive linemen. Always have been, always will be. They have to deal with more moving and changing and adapting parts than a quarterback does, honestly. Because defenses are not just constantly shifting up till the snap in front of them, changing their blocking assignment every time they do. But on top of that, they also change when everything starts. You got to adapt to what they're doing in the play. And on top of that, you kind of got to know physics, too. Because you've got to know how your body position versus his body position. How do I get leverage? How do I get my center of gravity? You got to know a lot. Which is why Cowboys offensive lineman Tyler Booker has just come up with the best phrase I have ever heard to describe an offensive lineman. Algebra in a fist fight. Now, the rest of the clip wasn't really much. He was talking about the fact that, yeah, it's a challenge to move up to the NFL level and play. But that's all I cared about. He called playing offensive line, quote, doing algebra in a fist fight. And that's the best description I've ever heard. And that's exactly what I'm going to call playing offensive line from now on. That's spectacular.
I absolutely love that.
Like a lot. Hey, the Atlanta Braves played the Minnesota Twins three times. Scratch that. Not the Minnesota Twins. The Atlanta Braves played the Kansas City Royals three times this week.
Yeah, that's a team. You don't get that team wrong.
It doesn't matter. Neither one of those teams matters.
Well, I don't. Again, you know, down the hall, they really.
Yeah, go ask him what he thinks about the Royals. Okay. I'm guaranteeing he's going to say, yeah, we don't matter.
So I'm not going down there.
Should have. They were on their way up. Now they're just kind of flatlined. So are the Braves. Which is why, of the three-game series, the single most entertaining and interesting thing that happened was from Mikael Garcia and a B. Mikael Garcia got stung by a bee. And they know that because, and what is maybe the single most dramatic television experience of the 2025 Major League Baseball season thus far. It wasn't a big dong. It wasn't a great breaking ball. It wasn't Paul Skeens throwing a buck 92. No. It just so happened that whatever network was carrying that game had a high frame slow motion camera pointed at the plate. And they were able to capture this bee, I think it was a bee, that had to be about yay big, hovering next to his helmet.
Sounds more like a hornet.
I thought it had to be, but I looked at it. Yeah. It's kinda like it's round. It's not like long like a hornet. It was round. So, and
you mean
there
like
are
a, like a carpenter bee?
I think I don't know.
Big old fat carpenter
big
old, bee.
It wasn't like a big ball, but like it was definitely fatter than a hornet or a wasp. You know, like hornet and wasp identifiable because they're long.
Radioactive, was it?
I hope not. For well, maybe I hope it is, because if so, if Mikhail Garcia starts launching balls into different area codes, like maybe it was. You can see in slow motion enough that you can see the wings on this thing flapping, hovering by his helmet. And then it just kind of drops down and, like, lands on him. Well, he goes to, like, as we would all do, just kind of, like, jerk react. Well, as he does, he kind of hits his shirt, opens it up, exposes his skin, and the bee, pow, pops him. And then what does Mikhail Garcia do? Does he go, ah, damn, that hurt, I'm out. No, no, no. All he does is take the next heater from Spencer Strider, rip it up center field, run to first, find out that the Braves left fielder was asleep at the wheel, challenges his arm, takes off the second, and turns it into a double for no reason.
Does it make you feel bad about when you get stung and you're down for the rest of the day?
I got to tell you, and I'm going to knock on every piece of wood in a 10-mile radius.
Getting stung sucks.
I have not gotten stung by a bee in a very long time, like a long time, and I'm really happy.
I'd rather be stung by a bee than a wasp. I don't. Yeah.
Unless that wasp is radioactive, then I'll take the chance. We'll see. Tyrrell Hatton is a golfer. We've talked about Tyrrell because Tyrrell's really interesting. On one hand, he's this like mild-mannered, very casual-speaking British guy, right? He's always kind of low-key. But also, Tyrrell Hatton is a dude that, after a bad round of golf 2 weeks ago, was asked, like, how do you recover? And his response was, I go back to my house, I drink 3 pints of Guinness, and I go to bed, because tomorrow's a new day. And I thought, yeah, me too, that's great. What an attitude. The guy's like, why 3 pints of Guinness? And he goes, well, 4 gives me a hangover, and 2 doesn't do anything. Great answer. Well, Tyrrell Hatton was playing an event on the DP World Tour. And as he was in the back swing.
The Dan Patrick World Tour?
No, it's just called the DP. I wish Dan Patrick had his own tour. It'd be awesome. He's on the DP World Tour. He's about to hit an iron shot, and a loud noise disrupted the backswing. And he, understandably, like most golfers, would get very agitated. Who just slammed a door when I'm in the backswing? Well, we immediately got our answer. Tyrrell Hatton was in the iron for the backswing, or in the backswing for the iron shot, and a porta potty door slammed on the course, and it disrupted him. He pulled out of the backswing, looked over, and you could see the expression, not very happy. Now, again, Tyrrell Hatton's not a guy that's going to like yell, "Hey, bleep you, buddy!" He just kind of looks over, like, "Who the hell slammed a porta potty door?" Turned out, it was his fiance. And because he looked at the camera and said, that's my fiance, the camera immediately swivels to the porta potties just in time to see Tyrrell Hatton's fiance coming out of the porta potty. And when she realized what just happened, you can see the face of, oh my God, my fiance just put me on international television after using the pooper.
That's not good. By the way, I just got recruited by somebody via text. I can make up to $12,000 a month working as little as 60 minutes a day.
Hey, that's a promotion.
Does that sound like a scam to you? I don't know.
No, just, dude, go for it.
Look how long it is.
Oh, God. I've never sent a text that long in my life.
I have never been recruited via text before. That's right. I feel important today.
I want to take you for a two-clip adventure here for a second, and I want to start with this one for two reasons. One, it's pertinent to the next clip. It's something that happened, speaking of golf, on the golf tour a couple of weeks ago. Number two, because it's one of the funniest things that's ever happened on golf television or television in general. Okay, so Scottie Scheffler hits an iron shot on 17, and somebody, 'twas a mystery, ripped gas on an otherwise relatively quiet golf course. Now, there's two things about that clip. Number one, it proves that even in the stodgy world of golf in the UK, dudes think farts are funny. We just inevitably and forever will. They're funny. The second thing is, the greatest golf joke of all time was told by the Scottish bro who said that Scottie Scheffler's shot had, and I quote, just a little wind from behind. That works on every level. Because one, he was hitting a shot with a tailwind, meaning the golf ball had literal wind literally helping it from behind. Number two, it's a fart joke, because he farted. So he had wind from his behind. And you can combine wind and behind in any combination, and it's a great joke.
This is like breaking down a magic trick. It's not necessary.
It's spectacular.
I think we all get it.
Spectacular. But here's the thing. There were a lot of folks out there who refused to acknowledge or believe that it was a trumpet blast from Scottie Scheffler himself. Well, there's other mics and blah, blah, blah. The Pardon My Take podcast on the Barstool Network had Scottie Scheffler on their show, and we figured it out. So there you go. Mystery solved. It was indeed Scottie Scheffler who got caught ripping one on a live mic and completely unapologetic about it. You're out there for 6 hours. You're eating different food in a different country. Quote, things happen, end quote.
All right. And the one giggler in there, was that by accident? I mean, what a question. So he's asking him, did he intentionally do that?
I don't think it's intentional so much as like, he just
swung. He just asked him if he intentionally did that.
No.
That was the question from the giggler. I don't know the guy's name, but
giggler.
He was giggling a lot. I'm guessing he's a large guy.
I think he's laughing.
Hey, do you do that on purpose?
I think he's laughing for two reasons. Number one, I'm tired of pretending like farts aren't funny. They are. And the older I get, and the more they become just a thing that happens,
right,
even when I want them to.
The sound is funny. The after effects are not.
I'm going to say that's per user.
I was going to say, don't ever complain coming out of that room over there then if that's funny.
I think it's per user. I'm also going to say, I'm not going to say all of us, but all of us have at one point, as the old expression goes, trusted a fart and got it wrong. Do you imagine if Scottie trusted that and got it wrong in that spot?
I can't.
Scottie Scheffler has withdrawn from the Open Championship. Why? Reason? Undetermined, but he changed pants.
I think my comment earlier in that room was, it smells like old people gas in here.
You get it.
Yeah.
It's not. All right. One more from the same pod, only because we like Ron Rivera a lot, right? Big fans. He also, this past week,
I enjoyed interviewing Ron Rivera.
I actually got to talk to Ron at the ACC Media Days very briefly.
That's when I got the old tap under the table, like take over the interview by someone whose name has a C in it.
Ron Rivera is a wonderful person to have a conversation with. However you feel about him as a head coach, I can attest Ron Rivera is a great dude. He was also on the Pardon My Take podcast earlier this week. Ron Rivera is working his way towards becoming a dude. See, wife, I told you I'm a high caliber athlete. Ron Rivera is in incredible shape. I talked to him in media days and I'm like, dude, this guy hadn't missed the day. This dude still got it. But he said, I ain't got it in me to sit down on a Sunday from game one to Sunday night football. I had to go out and take a walk because it's the wings and the beer and the this and the that. This is why I say, if you are an every game, every day football dude, I need you to know, or gal, dude's an all-inclusive term, all right? I'm talking to all the P1s of the Armada out there. If you are an every game, every day football dude or chick, please know that you are in an elite class of performer. That is top notch. It's not something that everybody can do. Hell, it's not something that just anybody can do. It takes training, discipline, dedication, and commitment. And if you've gotten yourself to the point that you can be there on Sunday for the 1 o'clock kick and the 4:30 kick and the Sunday night football, and then you circle it back around and watch Monday night football, and then you circle it back around to watch Thursday night football, and then sometimes Friday and Saturday night football, and you're every game every day, I need you to know you are in an elite tier of person. Not even the great riverboat gambler Ron is capable of hanging with us.
There's a level beyond that, though. The guy who watches an equal amount of college football the day before and then does it the next day with the NFL.
That dude is the Ichiro Suzuki of football watchers. There's Hall of Fame And then there's Ichiro. That's where you are. Some of us are lucky enough to get paid to do that. At least I get to tell my wife, sorry, honey, it's my job. And she can't argue because it's true. But if that's you, I want you to know you are in the most elite group of human beings, maybe on planet Earth. It's like Army Rangers, Navy SEALs, U.S. Marines, guy who watches every game all weekend long. That's the four most badass groups of people in America. Dewey texted the show and said, my farts smell like eggs and are messy. Dewey, you should stop listening and call your doctor. Right now. That's a problem, dude. Texas said, Ron Rivera is a great guy. I saw him walking between Wofford campus and the hospital during training camp one year. He was wearing a large straw hat just walking by himself. I stopped to get a selfie. He stopped and was glad to take the pic. He asked my name and just shot the breeze with me for about 5 minutes. A true good guy with great character. I've never heard a story to the contrary. I love that about Riverboat Ron. It's Thursday. You know what that means. When we come back,
fight club.
With the great Alonzo, we check in on all things MMA, boxing, and pro wrestling next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome into the Fight Club, where I realize, you know, I don't have any wrestlers in my intro there. I don't know why.
You really don't, actually.
Yeah, and I don't know what happened there and why I didn't do that, but there's only so much room for, and, you know, I've got my favorite MMA guy in there. We've got Rob's favorite MMA guy in there, and Conor McGregor. We've got, I mean, you know.
Slander.
The greatest of all time.
I won't stand for it.
Floats like a butterfly, stings like a radioactive bee. All right, SummerSlam is this weekend, WWE SummerSlam. I'm not going to have time for really anything else other than that. And I will tell you that I think it's a mistake making it 2 days. I think it diminishes WrestleMania and the fact that it's 2 days. But I get why they're doing it. I absolutely get why they're doing it.
I do too. You've stacked the card for what it's worth. If you like the matches, you've stacked the card. But I absolutely agree with you. I think I don't even think WrestleMania should be a two-night occasion, but that should be the only two-night occasion.
All right. Well, be that as it may, SummerSlam for the first time ever. Tonight, starting at 6 p.m. on Saturday. All right, let's get to the ton of matches. The first match we're going to talk about is for the SmackDown Tag Team Championship. It is Dexter Lumis and Joe Gacy, the current champions, the Wyatt Six, versus Montez and Dawkins Street Profits, Fraxium, DIY, Motor City Machine Guns, in a six-pack TLC match. This scares me because all those guys are crazy anyway. And it's one thing to watch a three-way TLC like we did back in the day, but this is six people. This is six. It's a lot of them.
It's a lot.
It's a whole lot. I'm going to go with the Wyatts. Either the Wyatts retain or the Street Profits get it back.
I keep finding myself leaning Wyatt six. But I also, from what I understand, they want a push of Andrade and Rey Fénix. A, because since both of those guys made their way back over to WWE, and this is just dirt sheet takes, They haven't been super thrilled about what's happened, which makes sense. I don't think they know a lot about what to do with him. I also think Andrade needs somebody to work with as the mouthpiece, and I think Ray Phoenix can be that.
They're not in that match.
I thought they were.
Unless, they're not according to the site that I got it from.
Oh, I was under the impression that they were.
Netflix, actually, is where I got the card from.
I thought it was a six-way tag, isn't it? And in fairness, I have not watched.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It is, and for some reason, they didn't put them on here.
Andrade and Ray Phoenix are Team 6. And I am, because I do think there is some need. I don't know which belts are changing hands, but I get the impression we might have a few. I think this might be one. Plus, they are, I think, going to start working the AAA integration into this a little bit more. I'm going to take slight underdogs in Andrade and Rey Fénix.
All right, I'm going to stick with Gacy and Loomis, two of my favorite wrestlers. I've always been a big Joe Gacy fan, and it's good to see him actually get a little gold.
I agree. I also say if the Six don't win this, what are we doing with them? Like, what's the point?
That is true. All right, Sami Zayn versus Karrion Kross again. Could this be Karrion Kross's final match? Supposedly his contract's up, and now Karrion Kross is not saying anything, says he can't talk about it right now. So maybe they're going to re-up he and Scarlett Bordeaux. I don't know if they're going to or not. Sami ain't won any of these, has he? So maybe I'm going to go with Karrion Kross again.
I'm going to go with Sami Zayn, but I think there's a reason for it. I think Karrion Kross is yay close to being the next like massively organically over guy, but I think he needs a trigger because I think what people really want to see is the return of Killer Kross, and I think if he loses to Sami, you have the reason to pull the trigger on a Killer Kross return. So I'm going to take Sami Zayn, but Killer Kross will return to smoke him at some point in the near future.
In a match that was made just so Roman Reigns would have something to do, Roman Reigns and Jey Uso versus Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed.
I mean, you needed to get the guy back in the fold somehow, but there is a 0.0% chance that you're bringing Roman back for him to immediately take an L, Roman and Jey.
Yeah, I agree. All right, Becky Lynch versus Lyra Valkyria for the Women's Intercontinental Championship. Still bored with this, but Lyra is starting to grow on me. Didn't think she would, and maybe working with Becky is helping her. That just gave her some credit. I'm going to go Lyra.
I am too. I you've already had Becky go over at one point and kind of push Lyra into desperation mode. I think that's got to pay off.
All right, next match is Raquel Rodriguez, first time I've ever said that correctly, and Roxanne Perez versus Charlotte Flair and Alexa Bliss for the WWE Women's Tag Team Championship. I love the pairing of Charlotte Flair and Alexa Bliss. Last week when Charlotte came out with the pom-poms, but she hit them behind her back until Alexa got her to use them, I thought that was great. This is a hard thing to figure out. I'm going to go with Charlotte and Alexa.
So am I, and there's one predominant reason for that. They want Charlotte Flair to be the face of the women's division. I understand that. Charlotte Flair came back as a babyface. It went over like a fart in church. It was real bad. She even said in that show, the reaction that she got when she came out to stare down Tiff broke her. Like she and she.
By the way, you need to watch it because
I've seen that clip.
They go in depth.
No, I know. I've seen.
So you've seen how someone saw how someone got in trouble.
Yes,
for that.
I did.
Tiffany Stratton got in trouble for.
But
that.
I think what happened in that spot was Charlotte didn't turn. Charlotte got turned by that audience in Chicago, and this is how it's random. But Alexa Bliss has been the way to build her back to where they want her to be. But for that to happen, she's got to go over here. And I'm going to go with the inevitable conclusion, which is eventually Alexa turns on Charlotte.
Probably.
So I'm going to go Alexa and Charlotte
here. I will defend Charlotte forever. She is my friend. Anyway, AJ Styles versus Dominic Mysterio. What a lead up to this match.
It's been really fun.
This is my favorite thing. And what if Dominic Mysterio was able to beat AJ Styles? Dominic's wrestling has improved so much compared to where he was when he first started. Character work, obviously, is over-the-top heel. You know, I want to say AJ's going to win. I'm just going to stick with Dominic. I think somehow, cheating, of course, but somehow he wins.
I am going with Dominic, and I'm going with Dominic because he's also doing a match over in, what is it, AAA or whatever.
Yeah.
He's doing a match over there.
Where he's the man over there.
He absolutely is, and he's white hot. I think it's an immense boon, or at least they will think that it is, for WWE to send their Intercontinental Champion over there to do that match, even just to carry the belt in and look like a dude. But you got to put it on him for that to happen. Dominic wins this match, and this is one of my most confident bets of the night.
You said boom. I just want to.
It's a boon.
It's a boon, but you said boom.
What do you want? I married my wife.
I know. Just every once in a while, those things slip through, and I think they're hilarious. I'm not being critical. I just think they're funny because I go through the same thing at home. And my wife is not Southern, but she works around a bunch of Southern people, and she comes home with a Southern accent. I'm like, what are you doing? Anyhow, she's going to hurt me for that. Randy Orton and Jelly Roll versus Logan Paul, mistaken for Baron Trump earlier on the on the internet. Look, Judge and Baron Trump. It's like, what is wrong with you people? I don't think Logan Paul looks anything like Baron Trump. As partner, Drew McIntyre, maybe. I don't know. Maybe not because of visa things. If not, it's going to be The Miz. It doesn't matter who they're facing. Randy Orton and Jelly Roll is going to win this.
That is correct. The only thing that genuinely interests me in this is twofold. Number one,
we're going to do it.
We've been talking for a while about how like Jelly Roll's lost like 1,000 pounds to get to where he is. That is to do this. He told the story the other night where he said, like, I asked Triple H after I went out there for a guest cameo, can I do a match? And Triple H was like, yeah. He goes, I will lose 100 pounds for this. And he's done it. So, like, as a former fat guy who's just a slightly less fat guy now, who understands the work that goes into that, I'm kind of pulling for the guy now. They're not having him go out there to lose this match, whether or not it's McIntyre. And by the way, the most interesting about this is I have zero idea if the McIntyre thing is a work or a shoot or some combination of both. That's when wrestling is the best.
It is.
It's the best when those of us who are like, I'm cool with seeing stuff not in kayfabe. Like, I don't care because I know their actors doing a show. But when they manage to sucker me in and have me go, I don't know if this is or isn't, that's when it's at its best.
Do you think Jelly Roll can take an RKO? Does Randy do that? It's over, they win, does he RKO? Because if you... That's one of the things you want to happen to you if you are a celebrity going in there. You want to be RKO'd, don't you?
Oh, absolutely, 1,000%. But here's the thing. Jelly Roll has, shockingly, kind of gotten over with the wrestling crowd because he is committed to the bit, right? Like, he's committed. Are you planning an Orton heel turn? Because that'd be an interesting way to kick it off. But we also had Orton, who he was out there.
It's not really a heel turn, though. He can't help himself. He just does that sometimes. And I think it's allowed by the fandoms. Like, it's just Randy.
Oh, for sure. He has done this before where he's like had this and had a great interaction, and then he just RKO's a dude that you didn't see coming, and then he gets up and kind of laughs about it. And we all just kind of, I think that is kind of one of those part spots, the shrug.
Yeah, the shrug.
That is one of those spots that we as fans, I think we honestly just kind of accept that guy wanted to be RKO'd. That's why he did that. Yeah. We're cool with it because we would want it to.
All right, about 5 more matches to get through really quick. CM Punk versus Gunther for the World Heavyweight Championship. They're gonna take the belt off of Gunther again already?
I think so.
I think so, too. Yep. I think CM Punk, if you watch the Netflix show, the reason why he was X-ing is because he was bawling his eyes out after he was able to get the main event for WrestleMania after all that turmoil. And it made me feel for CM Punk. I don't like that. I don't like that. I had to re-examine myself and find my hatred again. Let's see, Naomi versus Rhea versus Io for the Women's World Championship. I'm going to say Naomi.
So am I.
Yeah.
So am I. You know I love me mommy. I want it to be mommy. I think Naomi's doing something special right now. I think we got to give her credit. This is the best she has ever
best
looked.
Best run for her, for sure.
I agree.
Tiffany Stratton versus Jade Cargo for the WWE Women's Championship. Is this when they pulled the trigger?
On Jade?
Yes.
Yes.
I think so, too. And she's gotten better. But is she ready, and how long does she keep it?
I don't know. What I do know is Tiffany Stratton was absolutely white hot when she showed up, and I'm not saying that that's gone, but I think we all have to acknowledge that's cooled off amongst the crowd a little bit. Jade Cargill is, regardless of how you feel about her and her talent and ability, She comes out from behind the stage, Place loses it. So
she absolutely should play Storm in the next X-Men.
I totally agree.
Yeah, she should. All right, and finally, John Cena versus Cody Rhodes in a street fight for the WWE Undisputed Championship. This is when Cody Rhodes turns heel and John Cena turns face again. Cody Rhodes has been pointed out wearing the Rock glasses when he was on TV, wearing the Rolex watch when he was on TV, all the things that the Rock did when the Final Boss came out and did what he did to Cody. This is when it's going to happen, right?
I don't know, man. Cena's been teasing for a long time that his final event is in December, I believe,
yes.
Which, if that is real, means he is not contracted to go through WrestleMania. I don't know if that's true or not. If it's not WrestleMania, it's SummerSlam. There's no other show between here and Mania that you can have, especially if you're going to do a massive double turn. And on top of that, because of you, Dwayne, the second biggest heel turn in the history of professional wrestling, Dwayne has been not a complete waste of time, but largely a waste of time compared to what it could be.
You need to watch that show. It's addressed a great deal.
So, cool.
Yeah.
They can address it however they want. It's the biggest waste of time of any massive storyline in wrestling. What's his face? Rapper bro. He's just gone now. He just doesn't exist in that
but
world anymore.
No, because they've had disputes behind the scenes, and because from what I've read, he did not want to put in the work to actually become a wrestler.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah.
It still makes it a waste of time. You should have made him prove that he was going to do the work.
That's who it was.
You should have made him prove he was going to do the work before you sent him out there to ruin that moment.
Did you believe Jelly Roll was going to do the work that he's done? I mean.
Correct, but what did they do with him? Go do the work, then we'll put you in a match.
Yeah.
And they did that. They didn't do that with him. They just said, oh, you're going out with The Rock now.
They didn't do that with Bad Bunny or Logan Paul. They just let him get out.
I disagree.
They did
both of those guys worked. They wasted the biggest thing of all time. And the reason I am willing to follow you and say, I don't know that it's the double turn or just Cody outright wins the thing, but the reason I think they restripped Cody is because the whole thing with Cena hasn't worked. And so now what do? You set him up for a 5 months face run to get 18 and lay the belt down in the ring on his way out. I agree with that. I don't know if it's the turn. I don't know if it is the match that breaks Cena and he turns at a later show. I don't know. But I know that the second biggest turn in the history of professional wrestling has been a complete and total waste of time.
Yeah, I disagree.
And this
with
is how you
there,
fix it.
But that's okay. So we're both saying that
Cody Rhodes wins.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yes, we are. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back here in just a minute, ladies and gentlemen, I had to do a deep dive on a bit of data for the Atlanta Braves. And it's not about baseball. It is also going to be, I think, maybe the most hilarious thing you'll hear about the Braves in all of 2025. It's funnier than the baseball team's performance this year. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Okay, a couple quick things to hit on the way out. I found this clip from Major League Baseball player Whit Merrifield. Whit spent last year with the Atlanta Braves. He was
Hello,
on.
My name is Whit Merrifield.
It's a good baseball name. It really is. Whit Merrifield was on a baseball pod earlier this week, and he said this. So Whit Merrifield says, I'm not going to tell you who the pitcher is, but there's a pitcher for the Braves who every time he's going to pitch takes a shot before he goes out onto the baseball field. Now, I don't care. Cool. If that's what works, that's what works.
I must misheard or you misheard. I think he said I thought he meant all the guys take a shot.
No. He said,
are you sure?
Yes. He said there is a pitcher in Atlanta who takes a shot before every game. He said, now, there are some guys that would take a shot with him. But there's one pitcher who every time he pitches, before he pitches, takes a shot. Cool. I got no problem with that. None at all. If you look, if a shot of Jose Cuervo helps you go out there and rack up 9 Ks through 6 innings, have at it, buddy.
You didn't do that today before you got here, did you?
No, I did not. And okay. Listen, I'll be honest with you. There have been in my past when I did night shows in bars. Yeah. Robbie B's not back a shot of whiskey before a show every now and then. It takes the old edge off. And there's an edge every show. So, I listened to Whit Merrifield when he said, I don't want to give it away in case he doesn't know. But then he told a story that before one of this guy's performances, Usher was in the house, the musician, the artist. And he said, we asked Usher, you want to take a shot? Usher said, yeah. So, like, 7 or 8 of us gathered around a table. Usher gave a toast. We all took the shot. He said, hope you all win. Good luck. That was one of the coolest things. So, I said, wait a minute. It's a home game. Usher was there, and this guy was pitching. I can figure out who this is.
Okay.
So I went and I researched Atlanta Braves home games where Usher was in attendance. It has happened twice. Now, it happened once this year. It happened earlier this year, and Chris Sale was pitching. 6 innings, 5 hits, 6 strikeouts, 1 earned run. Scratch that. Sorry. Mets. It was against the Mets. They won 5-0. Chris Sale went 8.2, 5 hits, 7 strikeouts, 0 earned runs. So if it's Chris Sale, buddy, I will buy the next shot of booze for you. Because that's like one of like 8 good pitching performances from the Braves this year. But what Merrifield said, he was with the Braves. He was not with the Braves this year. So it's not this year. So I had to go back in the past. And I did. And I went and found out that last year, on September 14th, the Atlanta Braves were at home playing the LA Dodgers, a game that they won 10-1. The pitcher that day went 6 innings, 5 hits, 6 strikeouts, 1 earned run, and the pitcher was Chris Sale. So now, courtesy of Whit Merrifield, who said, I don't want to tell you who it is, but then said, but this guy was pitching when Usher was there for a home game. When I was a Brave, who was a Brave for 1 year, Usher came one time. It was at A when Chris Sale went to the bump, went 6 innings, 5 hits, 6 strikeouts, 1 earned run. By the way, Whit Merrifield, who took a shot before that game, 3-for-4 with an RBI.
I was going to ask you, though, did he necessarily point out that it was the starting pitcher? Could it have been someone who...
It could have been.
Yeah.
Who it could have been.
Pitched relief.
It could have been. And that is why it's up in the air. But I'm willing to roll the dice. I'm willing to roll the dice and say it's got to be Chris Sale. Because 2 times Chris Sale has pitched a game with Usher, both times electric performance. I am going to say that Chris Sale is the pitcher who knocks back a shot of something before he goes out to the bump and apparently is lights out. By the way, since he showed up to Atlanta, Chris Sale's been the best pitcher not named Spencer Strider in the building. He was a Cy Young candidate before he broke 2 ribs this year. Ladies and gentlemen, I am not saying that I endorse knocking back a shot of liquor before you do your job, unless you're Chris Sale, in which case I'll buy the next bottle, bud.
Yeah, if you're driving, you probably, no, don't do that. I mean,
yeah, obviously.
If you're part of the Armada, don't do that.
Obviously. But if you are a Major League Baseball pitcher, full endorsement. Do it. Absolutely, because it's clearly working for Chris Sale. Spectacular. Absolutely phenomenal. Yeah, that's all I got. I had some more stuff, but we'll get to it because we got one more show this week. Cool.
You should laugh. That was bad.
I don't disagree.
I looked up.
I had one more, but then I'm like, oh, we got like 22 seconds.
And
that's
otherwise,
not enough time.
Above average, really good show, I thought.
I agree.
You just rounded out with that.
What do you want? Anyway,
maybe if you took a shot before the show.
99 yards, and then I ran a sweep play on goal to go. I Steve Sarkisian'd our show. What do you want?
I thought you'd fumbled out of the back of the end zone. But anyway, all right, the first thing that's X-ing is, speaking of fumbling out of the back of the end zone, no, that's a horrible transition. I'm not going to do that to myself. All right, the first thing that's X-ing is Jason Momoa.
Jason Momoa X-ing. I got nothing. I'm going to simply cross my fingers and hope that it is a superhero movie correlation.
No, he shaved his beard.
Okay. I mean, listen.
Have you seen him without? He shaved his beard because Dune 3 is getting ready to start.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and he's in that. So it's a different look when you see him without his beard.
As a bearded American, here's what I'll tell you. With the beard, I look like this. Without the beard, my own wife describes me as a, quote, particularly bad Southern Baptist Quartet member. When I shave the beard, I am a different human being. There is one reason and one reason alone.
Yes, he would sing tenor.
100%. There is one reason and one reason alone that I do not occasionally, just to change up the vibes, shave the beard. And that is because the beard does a wonderful job at hiding second chins and occasionally third chins. I've told her, if I get down to under 200 pounds, I'm going to clean shave just to see what it looks like.
Please don't do
just
that.
Just to see what it looks
like.
I'll let it grow back. I'll let it get back to normal. But if I get under it, I'm 205 now. If I get under 200 pounds, I'm going to clean shave just to see what I look like with less of a second chin. Because I honestly don't remember.
Were you here when Chris had a beard like down to...
Yes.
And then he shaved it off?
Different guy.
Yeah. And that was disturbing. I almost asked him, hey, who are you? I don't think I have that problem because you're taller. So I don't know.
The last time that I was fully clean shaven.
You started to say cleavage reason.
The last time that I was fully clean shaven was 2017. It has been 8 years since the last time I was fully clean shaven. If I get to 199, I am going clean shaven just to see what I look like.
Oh, now I'm rooting against the weight loss. All right, and I never thought I'd say that.
The wife did say she would be cool with she'd be cooler with the long hair if I was clean shaven. She's like, you got to pick one or the other. If you long hair and beard,
all right, you sold me.
I will look homeless.
You sold me. All right, the next thing that's excellent is Shannon Sharp.
Shannon Sharp vaccine because he has been fired from ESPN. Shannon has to pay a young lady.
Well, she already he settled.
Settled. He settled. A young lady like $24 million over sexual abuse claims. And when that settlement came down and he got told you got to pay that money, ESPN was like, all right, that's enough of that. I think they were probably already looking for an out because Shannon's kind of been up and down with them, with his behavior away from the net, but this was the trigger to get rid of Shannon Sharp, and I get it.
All right, the next thing that's Xing is Xbox Game Pass.
Are we getting a or a series of games coming?
This has to do with revenue.
Ah.
You know, a lot of PlayStation people going, well, they don't even make money. They just made $5 billion on
Xbox. They have released a handful of games that I have gone and got. There are some stretches on Xbox Game Pass where I'm like, nah, there's nothing here for me. But every now and then they drop like an EA title or a Star Wars title or something like that. Then I'm like, well, I'm obviously getting that. And I also know that boosts subscribers. So that checks out.
All right, two more. The next one is Brand New Day. No, not Brand New Day as in Spider-Man Brand New Day.
Yes.
We are exactly 1 year away from
it. So I saw yesterday.
It would release today.
Next year. I'm in.
Yes.
I saw yesterday a report, and again, everybody's got their rumors, but that this Spider-Man movie is going to be separated from the Avengers stuff, from the Doomsday stuff. And it makes sense because it's like nobody knows who he is.
It's going to be grounded, and we know the
street level.
We know
Punisher's
the Punisher's going to be in it.
So I wonder how if that is going to be like it's unrelated to the
Fisk
Doomsday stuff.
Fisk knows he exists. He mentioned him,
but he's forgotten who he is.
Probably never knew
or
who
never
he was.
Knew. Yeah. So I'm interested to see what they do.
Well, actually, everyone knew.
Yeah, I'm interested to see if this is a let's reset Spider-Man into this universe, or if he is now totally separated.
All right, finally. And we got to go. This is Xy, and I don't know why. Football is back.
Ladies, gentlemen, boys, girls, children of all ages, the United States of America proudly presents Football Day! NFL Hall of Fame game tonight, 8 p.m. Don't miss it because you better damn well believe we're going to be talking about it tomorrow. Thanks for being here. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you didn't, it's your problem. Come back tomorrow. We'll do it again, and we will break down a football game. He's Lonzo. I'm Rob. Have a great rest of your day. It's the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Later.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Eniade.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich
free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.